brought to you by Penguin.
White Christmas by Katie Flynn. Read by Anne Dover. In memory of Sir Nicholas Winton, who organised the Kinder transport. December 1938. Rosalind Sachs, Ros to her pals, woke with a start to find her father's hand clamped firmly over her mouth. Fearing the worst, she swivelled her eyes to meet his, and her heart sank when he whispered the words she'd been dreading.
"They're here."
Nodding in mute understanding, she pushed the bed covers aside and slipped her feet into her shoes before tiptoeing over to her mother, who stood waiting by the back door. Samuel, Ros's father, placed his well-worn dark brown fedora onto his head, then pushed it into place. He cast a final glance over his shoulder before addressing his wife and daughter.
"Ready?"
The women exchanged a glance, and Ros slipped her hand into her mother's before giving a brave nod. Though they had hoped this night would never come, they knew the odds were stacked against them, so Samuel had put a plan into place months before, just in case. Even before the dreadful night of destruction, which the Nazis had proudly referred to as Kristallnacht, Ros and her family had witnessed synagogues being purposely set alight. Anyone who dared object was taken away, arrested as though they were criminals. Ros had friends who had been in school one day but not the next, and rumours were rife that the soldiers were arresting Jewish people in the middle of the night without explanation. Indeed, they had been woken on more than one occasion by people shouting as their loved ones were taken from them. Samuel Sachs, a partner in a firm of accountants, had done his best to keep his head down, doing most of his work from home so that he didn't draw attention to himself. He had only ventured out to join his wife and daughter as they, like many others, queued hour upon hour for a visa in the hope that they might leave Germany and start a new life somewhere far away from the Nazi regime, which was rapidly gaining in strength. The visa had been granted a few days earlier, and Samuel had secured a post working as an assistant accountant at an insurance firm in the Liver Building in Liverpool, England. His wife, Inga, an English teacher, had yet to find a job, but they'd been assured by the head of the accounts department at Samuel's firm that she would have no problem finding work as a private tutor once they reached English shores. Consequently, they planned to take a train to Holland, where they would catch a ferry to England.
"We're close, but we're not there yet," Samuel had told his daughter over supper as she examined the visa. "We must remain vigilant and only go out if absolutely necessary. We won't be leaving for a few days yet, and we can't afford for anything to go wrong."
Ros, who was excited at the prospect of a new start, looked up from the visa.
"You'd think they'd be glad to see the back of us," she said. "They want us gone, and that's what we're doing."
She furrowed her brow.
"It must be costing them a lot of money to look after all these people they're arresting. You'd think they'd make it easier for people to leave."
The dark look her mother and father exchanged didn't go unnoticed.
"What?"
Ros asked innocently, but her father shook his head.
"Eat your supper, then off to bed. Only don't forget, you're not to get changed into a nightie. Put on your bedclothes, just in case we have to leave in a hurry."
By bedclothes, her father meant day clothes, which they now wore to bed. Ros used her bread to mop up the gravy from her plate.
"I'm sure they'd understand if we showed them the visa. Like I said, we're..."
Inga cut her daughter short.
"They don't care, Ros. They're cruel, heartless, vicious."
She held a hand to her forehead.
"You can't reason with someone who's so full of hate. They're too blind to see."
Ros's cheeks flushed. Her mother rarely raised her voice.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?